Thank you, Brother Massengale. I appreciate the opportunity, invitation, and privilege to be here in the service tonight, and the Lord willing, these nights of this week. I appreciate your prayers for us before we got here, and I trust you'll pray for us tonight. The Lord would help us and have his way with us tonight. We understand without him we can do nothing tonight. It's of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. So I'm grateful for his mercy tonight. And I appreciate, again, this opportunity. I appreciate the good place provided for us to stay. And thank you so much for that. I don't want to take it lightly, that you do for us. And I appreciate it so much. Appreciate your monthly support for us as well. And all that you have done to help us along life's journey. May the Lord bless you for that. Well, there's a miracle in the Bible, the Gospels, many, but there's one tonight that I want to focus on. It's recorded in Mark chapter 10, beginning in verse 46. It's also recorded in Luke chapter 18, verse number 35. It's a familiar miracle that the Lord performs, and it's on a man by the name of Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus is blind. But the Lord heals his blindness. And I'm grateful that the Lord did that for Bartimaeus and that it's recorded for us. Now, I do believe that the Lord's miracles that he performed while he was on earth are actual miracles. He physically healed this blind man. Amen. As long as well as the other miracles. But I want tonight, if the Lord would help me for just a moment, to draw a comparison between this miracle that the Lord performs on Bartimaeus to that he would do for the sinner tonight. For as Bartimaeus was physically blind, the sinner is spiritually blind tonight. That is, the eyes of his or her soul, the eyes of their understanding are blinded tonight.
Amen.
And it'll take the Lord to heal the blindness. As it took the Lord to heal Bartimaeus' blindness, it'll take the Lord to heal our spiritual blindness. We sing about it. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight. And now I am happy all the day. There's a lady from about an hour away from where I live by the name of Robin Henderson that wrote that song you may have heard sung, "A Speck of Dirt is All I Am." Blind by sin and nature's night, she writes, one day God led me to the light.
Amen.
And so it's the Lord that heals the blindness.
Amen.
The Bible speaks of Moses as he endured seeing him who is invisible. That is, with eyes of faith tonight. There's some scriptures that talk about the blindness of an individual that is unconverted or unsaved tonight. And of course, that is Jesus speaking to Nicodemus and said, except you be born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Amen. For it does not come with observation. It is within you. It's not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Amen. 2 Corinthians 4 said in verse 3, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them.
Amen.
Amen. Ephesians chapter 4, the Bible said that the Gentiles, in the vanity of their mind, have their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. And so it is blind tonight. That is the mind and the heart. The inward man, the inward person, the innermost being is blinded by our sin. Nature's night. Amen. And only the Lord, again, can open that blindness. May I say to you, it's not enough to be religious, to go to church, to repeat a catechism, or to live by a certain set of rules or regulations. That's not enough. Does not open the blinded eyes. John chapter 9, Jesus said in verse 39, "For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind." Some of the Pharisees heard these words and said, "Are we blind also?" Jesus said, "If you were blind, you should have no sin. But now you say, 'We see,' therefore your sin remaineth." So it takes more than religion, our self-righteousness, our works that you can perform to open your blinded eyes. Amen. Oh my. So let's look at that if we can tonight, and look at this miracle and see how Jesus opens blind Bartimaeus's eyes, and see if that's not the same way that he would open the eyes of the sinner. Amen. Amen. Remove the blindness from the mind and from the heart. Amen. From the understanding, and then by eyes of faith we can see him. Amen. First of all, in Mark 10 verse 46, the Bible said, "And they came to Jericho." Of course, the "they" are the disciples. And the verse goes on to tell us that there was also a great number of people with them. But originally, it was Jesus that came, the disciples following him somewhere along the way, and could be even around Jericho, a great number. But it was Jesus that came to Jericho. Mark chapter 10 again, beginning at the first verse, said, "He arose from thence," he was in Capernaum, "and cometh to the coast of Judea by the farther side of Jordan." And he wound up at Jericho. So there he is, my friend, in Capernaum. There he is, my friend, on the other side of Jordan, but he came across Jordan to the farther side and came to Jericho. Amen. Amen. That is far Bartimaeus. Can I say you come much further than that for the sinner? Amen. He came from the glory world. He said, "I am from above, you are from beneath." Amen. He wasn't from this world, but he crossed the river. He crossed the sea. He stepped out of eternity and stepped into time. He left the bosom of the Father and stepped into the womb of the Virgin. Amen. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be made rich. Amen. Oh, he was in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation, took upon himself the form of a servant, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. He came
Bartimaeus could never get to where he was at. He was blind, could not find his way. Oh, you don't know how to get to him tonight, but I'm glad when we could not find our way, see our way to him, he came to where we were at. He came. Amen. Oh my. Can I say he came not only across Jordan, he came to Jericho. Jericho is a cursed place. Jericho was cursed by Joshua when the children of Israel took Joshua, the first city of the promised land. The walls came down and they took Jericho as their possession. Joshua cursed that city, and Jericho was a curse. And so Christ came to a cursed place. The world that we live in tonight is cursed because of man's sin. Can you imagine, as beautiful as this world is tonight, what it was like before there was a curse? What it was like before there was the judgment of the flood? Can you imagine living in that world? Can I say something here tonight? Amen. Can you imagine living in a world where there will be no sin? Wherein dwelleth righteousness? Well, we're headed to that world. Amen. Oh my. There'll be a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. No seeing there. He came to a cursed place. This place, my friend, was cursed. He left, that is, Jesus left the blessed place and came to a cursed place. But he did more than just come to a cursed place. He became a curse. Galatians 3:13 tells us that Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Amen. I can hear Brother Mitchell preaching on him now. Here is the Lord Jesus Christ that lived those 33 plus years, lived under the law, made of a woman, made under the law to redeem us that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Here he is, my friend, living under that law, and he kept it to the jot and the tittle. After the 33 plus years, he stood above the law. He had fulfilled the law, or filled it full. The law could not point its finger one time at him. The law could not say, you've offended me, you've offended God. He did always all those things that pleased the Lord. Amen. And he stood, my friend, a fulfillment of the law. Christ, the end of the law, for righteousness' sake. Amen. No sin, no guile found in his mouth. Pilate said, I find no fault in him. The law could not find any fault in him. Every man that had been born up to that time, the law cursed him. The law condemned him. The law said, you're guilty. The Bible said the law was given that the whole world might be guilty. Amen. Every mouth was stopped. Amen. Hallelujah. But here was Christ, thank God, that was innocent. Amen. And stood above the law. But he turned around and went back under that law and hung on that tree and was made a curse for us, that he might redeem us. Thank God, pay the price for us that were under that law. Bring us out from under that curse. Amen. Hold on. He was cursed on that tree. He was cursed as he hung naked. At Genesis 3:7, when Adam and Eve eat of the forbidden fruit, their eyes were open and they were naked. Christ bore that curse, and thank God, that shame of sin, when he hung without a stitch of clothing on that old rugged cross. Thank God. At Genesis 3:18, how the Lord said to Adam, thorns and thistles will come because of the curse. You'll earn your bread by the sweat of your brow, but every time you try how to earn your bread and till the earth, thorns and thistles, it's part of the curse. And they planted a crown of thorns on the darling head of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is being cursed. Amen. Hallelujah. And he didn't just bear the shame of sin. He didn't just bear our sin in his body on the tree, but his soul was made an offering of our sin. Amen. And when he wore that crown, he didn't just redeem the sinner. He redeemed, thank God, my friend, the universe. He redeemed the world that was cursed. Amen. Oh my. Thank God. And I'm glad there'll be a day. Thank God he'll redeem the very creation. Thank God. That is under sin tonight. Amen. He not only came to Jericho as a cursed place, but Jericho is the lowest inhabited city on the face of the earth. It's over 800 plus feet below sea level. It is the lowest place on the face of the earth. Inhabited city. Amen. Oh my. You say you don't know how low I am. Yeah, but Jesus came to the lowest place. He not only came to the lowest place, he came to a lowly beggar that was blind. Amen. Hallelujah. And could not help himself, could not save himself, could not heal himself. But Jesus passed by where he was at. Amen. Oh, bless his name. So here is Jesus at Jericho. The Bible said when Bartimaeus hears that it's Jesus of Nazareth, he begins to cry out. Luke's gospel said, hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. He hears the multitude going by. He knows something is taking place that's unusual for him as he sits by that way. And so he asked what it meant. Have you been asking what it meant? And if you haven't publicly asked somebody, have you been asking in your heart and in your mind, what does all this mean? All these followers of Jesus, what's going on? What does it mean? Why are they following? Amen. He heard the multitude, and when somebody told him it's Jesus of Nazareth that's passing by, and he'd heard of Jesus of Nazareth before. For Jesus was nearing the end of his earthly or public ministry and headed to the cross. So he had had 3 years had this man to hear about Jesus and what he had done in the nation of Israel. And when he thought about what he had heard about what he had done for others, he had made lame walk. He'd cleansed lepers. He'd even raised folks from the dead. And when Bartimaeus thought about that, as the multitude passed, he cried, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. If you've done these things for others, surely you can help me out of the condition and the situation that I'm in. Can he help you tonight?
Why don't you cry and ask him?
Amen.
By the way, this is the right cry. Or this is the right prayer. Or this is the right plea.
Yes.
Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me.
Amen.
When he says Jesus, he's appealing to his kinship.
Amen.
You're related to me. You're kin to me. And surely if somebody would help me, would offer me help or give me help, surely it'd be somebody that's related to me.
Amen.
Do you know Jesus purposely became related to us?
Amen.
You may be related to somebody you don't want to be related to. But Jesus purposely became related to us so he could be our kinsman redeemer. He became us. He took not on himself the nature of angels, but the seed of Abraham. It behooved him to be made like unto his brethren. Amen. Made in the likeness of sinful flesh. And for sin, condemned it in the flesh. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh my. And he's touched with the feeling of our infirmities. And he was in all points tempted, yet without sin. He's related tonight. Amen. You're not talking to some God tonight that exists out yonder somewhere. And like the heathen and others, amen, you have to make sacrifice to appease him and get him to understand who you are and what you want. Amen. He knows you tonight. He's related to you tonight. Jesus, he appealed to his kinship. Then he appealed to his kingship. Jesus, thou son of David. You're not only related to me, and surely by being related to me or kin to me, you'd help me, but you're the king. Someone might be related that could not or did not have the ability or the power, amen, to help you. But he said, you, hey, God, are the son of David. You're the king, amen. You've got the strength. You've got the power. You've got the ability. You've got the riches, amen. You've got the means. You've got the authority. Jesus said that you might know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sin.
Yes.
Appealed to his kinship and his kingship. Then he appealed to his kindness. Have mercy on me. He didn't go into detail about, you know, why I'm here and I should not be here. He just said, I'm in this condition. I'm in this mess. I'm in this situation. Would you have mercy on me? I'm not asking for justice. I'm not asking for what I deserve. Amen. But would you show me mercy? Would you withhold from me what I really deserve to have? I don't deserve no better than this. Probably deserve worse than this, but would you have mercy on me? Have you asked him for mercy? Would you cry out for mercy? Amen. And the Bible said when he cried, have mercy, and these, he cried for about the kinship and kingship and the kindness that some of those said, hold your peace. Be quiet. But the Bible said he cried the more a great deal. And I've been preaching for years that he cried louder. He possibly did. But I believe he cried more often.
Amen.
As well. He repeated it more and more.
Amen.
I don't want him to get by here without him hearing me. I don't want the sounds of this crowd and what they're talking about to keep him from hearing me. I don't want this crowd to drown out my voice. Amen. I want him to know that it's not just a casual thing that I'm asking of him. Amen. I mean business with him. Have mercy. Have mercy. Have mercy. Have mercy. And the Bible said in verse 49 of Mark 10 that Jesus stood still. He stood still.
Amen.
Someone took a text years ago and preached on when the sun stood still. Amen. Sun stood still for Joshua. Sun stood still for Bartimaeus. Can I say to you, this is not the first time that the sun stood still.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He stood in the eternal counsels of God as the blood surety of the New Testament. He is standing when there wasn't nobody to... When nobody created, nobody born, he stood. John saw him as Revelation 5 as the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. He stood. Amen. Stood in Pilate's hall. He stood in place of the sinner. Amen. Hallelujah. He stood when Stephen was being stoned. Hallelujah. Amen. And he's seated now at the right hand of the Father, but there's one day he's going to stand up. And when he stands again, and with the voice of an archangel and the trump of God, hallelujah, he'll call for his bride. Come away with me, my dear one, my beloved. The winter is past. Hallelujah. You do know that he's going out of Jericho, headed to Jerusalem. He's done told his disciples four times in this scripture that he's, for the fourth time in this chapter, that he is going to Jerusalem to be crucified and to rise again. He's told them that. So he's on that road. He's got that in his mind. That's the steps that he's taking to go to the cross. He's fulfilling the Father's plan. Amen. He set his face like a flint to go to Calvary. But there's a blind beggar that says, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And he stops that plan. He stops that trip. He stops those steps and stands still. You may be here tonight and say, preacher, I don't know what in the world's going on. I don't know what you're doing. I don't know what that choir means. I don't know what the pastor means. I don't know what these folks mean tonight. I don't know what y'all are doing, what's going on. But I'll tell you, if you need mercy and you need to be saved tonight and you need the Lord Jesus, if you'll cry out for help, amen. All this that's going on, he'll stand still. Hallelujah. And hear you and call for you. Amen. Hallelujah. Psalm 34:6 said, this poor man cried and the Lord heard him. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
And those then that had told him to be quiet now said, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And verse 50 said, he casting away his garment came to Jesus. I think the casting away of the garment was repentance and faith.
Amen.
Both.
Amen.
They do go together.
Amen.
Amen. Repentance and faith. He's casting away the garment. Amen. Twofold, because it is a garment that is soiled. It is a garment that has picked up the dirt and the dust and the trash of folks passing by and him sitting by the highway side. So he's forsaking that. He's turning from that. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Brother Andrew Tonking, a missionary to the Middle East, says that coat was also caught, that he would take a coat sometimes or a garment and set it beside him, and it would catch the gold and the silver, whatever they would throw to him. If they didn't have, that garment to lay there, though it picked up the dirt and the trash, if they throwed something, it would get in the dirt and he couldn't find it. He's blind. But if it's in that garment, if it's there, he just wraps that garment up, takes it home, and he's got it. So it's repentance because it's been, no doubt, picked up the dirt and the trash of a beggar sitting by the highway side begging. But it's also his only hope or means of survival. Amen. But he's saying, once I get to him and get my sight, I'll not need either one. I won't have to live that life. I won't have to eat the dust and the dirt. Amen. And I won't need the silver. I'll have something different. Amen. Another dear preacher in Rutledge, Tennessee said that this garment was denoted his blindness. Mark somehow, a garment that he wore where everybody could see, but what he wore that he's blind. So when he's walking along, if he's getting to the edge of a cliff, if he's about to get in danger, that they know by the garment that he wears that, thank God, he's blind, so they must try to help him by the garment he's wearing. He's throwing that away. He's casting that away. He won't need it anymore. He'll have a new garment when he gets to the Lord Jesus. When he gets his sight, he'll not be the man that he's always been. When he finally got to Jesus, Jesus said, What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? And he said, Lord, I'd like to receive my sight. Now, don't you think Jesus knew what he wanted and what he needed? And he knows what you won't need tonight, but he's waiting on you to ask him. Amen. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Jesus said, go thy way.
Amen.
But Mark said he followed Jesus in the way.
Amen.
Amen. Why not follow the man that gave him his sight?
Amen.
That's who he's following.
Amen.
Oh my. Luke said, after he'd received his sight, he followed Jesus, or followed him, glorifying God.
Amen.
So there's somebody in that group that's leaving out of Jericho, and every once in a while he's saying, thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
What's the matter with you? Oh, he gave me my sight.
Amen.
I was blind, but now I see.
Yes.
And Luke said, when others saw it, they gave praise. When they saw him glorifying God and understood why he was, it made them praise God. And Jesus healed Bartimaeus. He is blindness, and he can heal your spiritual blindness tonight. Would you cry for mercy? Thank you, Pastor.